going to invite up a familiar face for you that's been up here before. We can call him the young adults of all young adults, if you like, at Hillside, I think. Tobin is our young adults coordinator, and he's going to be sharing a message with us this morning. If you know him, you would know this. If not, you're in for a treat. But Tobin has a really anointed way of speaking truth in a way that's steady and just how you need to hear it. So, yeah, get ready for that. Why don't you come up, Tobes? Let's give him a warm welcome.
Wow, awesome. The time has come. It's here already. Man, how good was Katie and Joel this morning opening up our young adult service? And if you were in the prayer room this morning, you would have heard, man, that they were being given some amazing gifts, and just the anointing that's been put on their lives is just something just so special. So I'm so stoked that you guys did that this morning. So good. And I'm looking forward to the future where we will see a lot more young adults be involved on a Sunday morning service. All right. So I'm really excited for this morning. This is my first time on a Sunday morning speaking. I've spoken a lot at youth events or within the Christian college just over the road here. But this is something new for me. I'm really excited for it, but I'm also quite nervous. So bear with me. But God, I know that it's God's words through me, and it's not me. But I know he's given me this word this morning. So why don't we just pray before we get into it? So God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for the young adults. We thank you for everyone in this church, Lord. And we just, Lord, as we prepare our hearts, as we already have done in communion, Lord, that we give everything to you, Lord, that we hand over our lives to you, Lord, and that we allow you to change who we are so we might be more like you, Jesus. Amen. All right. So this morning, I am speaking on surrender, but not just surrender, complete surrender. And we hear the word surrender a lot in church. It's something that we're familiar with. I know both Joel and Katie spoke of it this morning. They already stole half my message, so that's great. But what is complete surrender? I know that we live in a Western culture that sometimes we're a bit sheltered. So I just want to look at two aspects straight away. So we're just jumping straight into this, guys. So we're looking at it as Christians. What do we see surrender as? But firstly, I want to look at culturally. How do people see surrender? What does it mean to the world? I think a lot of the time people can see the word surrender as that you've been defeated, or like in a war context, you might be waving the white flag, like you might see on there. You're giving in. But I think the main one that people see it as is weakness. Surrender is weakness. Because in our culture today, we're told to be the best versions of ourselves, that we can look after ourselves. You know, we've got this. You got to look after number one. I don't need anybody else to help me get to where I want to get to. And that's what we're told. And whether that's directly or subconsciously, that might be through everything that gets thrown at us in life, through media and what we're influenced by. That could be from multiple sources, even with friends and family. But the main point is that we're always told, I can do this on my own. I think there's a slide for that as well, which is a bit of humour. And we see that a lot in memes like this, where it's funny, but that's how we see ourselves. Like, all right, we just got to suit up. We can make this happen for ourselves. Whatever dreams, whatever goals that we do have, we can do this. And we don't need no one else, because I'm number one. I can do this myself. And that can happen through any environment that you're in, through school, university, in any job situation that you might have. It could be about the car that you drive, or about the biggest and best house that you can afford. I've got this. I've got it sorted. I can make a life of my own. And often we leave God out of the picture. and the decisions that we make as Christians. But as Christians, we hear this word surrender a lot in church, like I've already said, but it could be said in multiple ways. Give it to God, let go, let God, give it over to God. That's one of my favorite images that I came across many years ago that just really helped me get through a few things, and I think it's quite powerful. But the question I guess I have for you guys this morning is, do we do it? Do we surrender to God? And have we lost what it is to surrender? Do we do it daily? Do we completely surrender wholeheartedly? We have already touched on this in communion, and I think, you know, that's quite a powerful time this morning, and how we can just continually give things to God. It might be things of our week, but do we give it over to Him? And I think everything goes against us in wanting to surrender. We want to fight it all the time, not wanting to give in, to continue doing it in our own strength, not inviting God into that space to help us in our day-to-day, or for Him even being in the middle of our day-to-day. Now, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, grab it out or pull your phone out, whatever it is. We're going to have it up on the screens too, but I want to look at the Beatitudes. I guess most people are familiar with what the Beatitudes are, but we're just going to read through them. So I've got NIV version up here for you. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I think this is quite a powerful verse, and it sort of shows us where God wants us to sort of sit and where we want to be in under God. But it says, blessed are the poor. So blessed if. So all these things, poor in spirit, if we those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst, and many more. But it talks about we are blessed if we are one of these things or all of these things. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't see in myself a lot of these characteristics on a day-to-day basis. I would like to say that, yeah, look, this is exactly who I am, but that's just not reality. And to get us to that place of wanting more of God, well, we have to understand that in our weakness is the very time that God can actually get through to us when we're in these positions. And that propels us to wanting to hunger and thirst for more of God. So the first thing we need to do, like I've already said, we need to give in. We need to let God. We need to surrender to Him. We need to just stop. I know Pastor Kerry brought the word last week, and I didn't hear this part, but I know he kept saying, stop, just stop. We need to stop and just hear God and give in to Him. I know for me, surrender is one of the hardest things to do. And I'm sure that I relate to a lot of you here. To coming to that point of complete surrender. And like this morning, we can easily come into this place, this church, and we can play church quite easily, like it says up on this side. We can do that quite easily, even in a really special time that we had this morning of communion, we can easily just go, yep, God, no worries, you can have this, yep, you can have that. And we can go about our weeks and we can move on and forget what happened. So can we do it? We can do communion, but we can do it with an insincere heart. But we can also, obviously, this morning, do it genuinely too. But to come into a deeper and more fulfilling, surrendered relationship with God, where we actually put Him as number one, that is truly a massive, massive challenge. Do we completely surrender? Now, I want to speak about a different word here. And the word is yield. It's not a word that we hear a lot. And thanks, Katie. Appreciate it. It might not be a word that we hear a lot. It's a word that's used in America a lot on signs, as you can see. Obviously, in Australia, we have stop signs and give way signs. In America, they have stop signs and yield signs. I'd like to say I've been to America and taken this pic, but you know, I haven't been there. I would like to, but it got me thinking. Though I was speaking to a few friends, and I know that Pastor Kerry a few years ago did a series on signs, and this was part of it. But what does yield mean? So let's look at the dictionary meaning of what yield is. So there's two different meanings, I guess. So one being the produce of nature or agriculture, to have a yield, a good harvest, or in whatever industry that might be. The second one means to give way to argument, demands or pressure, or the way that they phrase it there, the Western powers now yielded when they should have resisted. And there's a whole bunch on the next slide of synonyms. And man, I love synonyms because the main two words that I probably use is awesome and great. And so when I can scroll down on my Word document and go, oh, what synonym is for good or great or awesome, it helps me look smarter than I actually am. So the synonyms here are quite long and diverse. Some of them, obviously, admit defeat, back down, quit, give up, lay down the struggle, or even raise a white flag. And obviously you can see plenty more there as well. So the word yield means to give way to the traffic. So if we're talking about a traffic scenario, we're giving right of way to traffic that's going quicker, that might be more powerful, or a more powerful object. So we want to yield, as Christians, we want to yield to God. We want to surrender to Him. And not just because He says so, but because He loves us so much. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He wants to give us all the blessings and just bring us into that place where we know Him so well. And that takes a lot. That takes time. But that's who He is and what He wants for us. And if we don't look at the signs, if we don't look at these give way or these yield signs, we could get hurt. We could get wiped out by the traffic that might be coming across our path. We could be really badly damaged or injured. And I think God is similar to this. And don't get me wrong, I want to put this in a way that doesn't say that God just wipes us out, because that's not true. But he can wipe us out, but He can give us space. He allows us to figure things out on our own, even if we might get hurt. Now, this reminds me of the passage or the story in the Bible from the book of Jonah. And who knows that story? Who knows about Jonah? He, as you can see, he went on a journey, and God told him to go speak to a group of people. And the first thing he did was go the opposite direction. He got on a boat and went the complete opposite way to the town that he was meant to go to. God said, go preach to these people, for they need to know who I am. They need to repent and come back to me. He said, no, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm not interested in what you want to do, God. But God's plan for him was so strong that he said, no, Jonah, you are going to go speak to the Ninevites. So I'm going to get a fish, a big fish, to swallow you up. Which is a crazy story, but it's amazing. And I think it talks about how good God is. And even if we are trying to run away from him, he's going to come back and bring us to himself. And eventually, if you don't know the story, Jonah did go. The whale spat him out, the fish spat him out, and he gave it over to God. He said, all right, God, I'll do what you say. And when he spoke to a whole town, not just a town, 120,000 people heard this word of come back to God, surrender to God. And they did, which is amazing. So much like the traffic scenario, sometimes we aren't looking for God, the higher power. When he comes into our life, he can change our path. He can change our focus. And in the process, he can bring us to the point of surrender and redirect us in our life and the plans that we have for our own lives. So I just want to speak about my own life and something, a few things that have happened to me. So most of you will know Liz. She's standing up back there. And she's got a young, sweet Addison, 6 weeks old, which is beautiful. But we got married when we were quite young. So we've known each other for more than half our life, which is awesome. And we got married when I was 20. And we had a great relationship. But there was some things in my life that I guess I saw God. I grew up as a Christian. And I guess I saw God as someone to appease, someone that I needed to do all the right things. I was quite legalistic. I saw things in very, very black and white. And there was a few situations that I was facing and a few things I couldn't figure out. So I said to God, I said, I've had enough. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to change this. So I'm just going to give in. And I was scared of what the future might hold. So we went along and we did life. We visited a few churches. We still were connected with Christian people. Liz was amazing and strong through that time, even though I had walked away. But we were at the point, we were getting into our mid-20s, and we had visited Hillside a few times, and we were about to start to call Hillside our home, which is amazing. But I hadn't yet given over or surrendered to God where I was at. We're talking about having a family, and it was a beautiful time, and Liz fell pregnant, and she was about 3 or 4 months pregnant. But I was scared. I was scared. I was fearful of becoming a dad. I didn't know if I was going to be good enough. I didn't know what to expect or how my life would change, or if I was even wanting kids. I was scared. So I went out. We were living down in the city at the time, so I went to this big park. It was in the middle of the night. It was raining a bit. And I just surrendered to God. There was no one around. And I literally cried out. I don't know what it sort of sounded like or anything like that. It could have been a high pitch or just a bit more of a lion's roar or something. I have no idea. But I can't remember that bit. But I remember in that moment just going, God, what do you want from me? What should I do? And directly after I asked that question of him, and whether it was audible or in my own head, I'm not sure. But I know what God said to me was true. He said, don't worry. I'm going to look after your family. Simple as that. As clear as that. And I went home not long after that with just this incredible peace, this incredible joy, and knowing that I could trust God with whatever was going to come up, whatever was going to be next. So I was looking forward to the future. I was excited. I was really excited to become a dad. Just from that one moment with God that changed how I saw him and he took away my fear. Now in that same night, Liz had a miscarriage. And it was a late miscarriage or a miscarriage, if anyone knows what that means. She was 15 or 16 weeks pregnant and we had no idea that had happened. And it was a full-on time. And we went to the hospital and sorted it all out, and it was just really tough. We weren't too far away, so we just jumped in the car and got down there. But it was a full-on time. It was something that, you know, was sad and that hurt a lot. But I know that God promised me that He would look after me. So regardless of the situation that we found ourselves in, literally half an hour after that word that God spoke, that He was good and that He had us. So I guess, guys, in moments like these, there's two choices. We can continue to hold on to it ourselves, whatever it might be, fear, pride, anxiety, whatever struggle you might have. Or we can surrender it to God. We can give it over to Him. And when we choose to hold on to things, we are kept in that place of fear. We're distancing ourselves from God. Now think of anything. I'll give you a moment. Just think about anything that you're going through right now. It might not be anything that I've ever struggled with or anything that I've ever been through before, but God knows. God knows what it is. When we choose to surrender to God, it takes the pressure off of us, off of our shoulders, to perform or to do anything that we think we should be doing, but fully and wholeheartedly giving it over to Him, our situations, our lives, giving it over to God, which brings us to an amazing place of freedom, peace, joy, and rest. It's just a beautiful thing when we do that, when we can do that wholeheartedly, completely surrender. Now, I want to look at another passage. And it speaks of repentance, it speaks of giving over to God, and how we change to do so. How we change when we do so. So it's in Job 11. And it says, "If only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands to Him in prayer. Get rid of your sins and leave all iniquity behind you. Then your face will brighten with innocence. You will be strong and free of fear. You will forget your misery. It will be like water flowing away. Your life will be brighter than the noonday. Even darkness will be as bright as morning. Having hope will give you courage. You will be protected and will rest in safety, and you will lie down unafraid, and many will look to you for help." I think that's a really powerful verse, and I think sometimes in life we can get caught up with different things, different situations, or even thoughts that can get so cloudy or so foggy and so unclear what our actual focus is. So let's look back at this verse. It talks about two different aspects, what we need to do and when we do it, what will happen. So what do we need to do? We need to prepare our hearts and we need to pray to Him. We need to get rid of our sins. We need to leave our iniquities behind us, our wickedness, leave the past in the past. And when we do it, what will happen? Well, like in the Beatitudes, when we actually want to know Him, when we want to seek Him and hunger and thirst for righteousness, what will happen? Well, it says we will be filled with innocence. How good is that? And we will be strong and have no fear. We'll forget all our miseries, all the things that hold us back. And even darkness will be still bright, will be still good. Hope and courage will come to us and we will be protected and He will give us rest. Man, if that's not a verse to be changed by, I don't know what it is. When we can give ourselves over to Him, when we surrender, when we let the Holy Spirit take over, when we can redirect our lives towards Him. More of Him, less of us. We often look for purpose, meaning, fulfillment in anything else but our relationships with God. Our relationship with God. We find ourselves in this place a lot of the time because we refuse to surrender to Him. Are we looking in the right places? Do we truly desire relationship with God? Are we actually avoiding it? Dargan Thompson wrote an article, and it was called The Real Reason We Avoid Time with God. It was published in 2014 by Relevant Magazine, and it says, there's one cut out from there that was just stood out to me. And he said, the truth is that often, deep down, we lose sight of who God really is and who we are in light of that. When we view God as anything less than who he is, our desire and motivation to spend time with him wanes. How do we change how we see God? We need to surrender to him completely. We need to bring us, and that will bring us to the point of actually relying on Jesus for everything. For those that were here a few weeks ago when Dr. Richard Roy came and spoke with us, I took one main thing away from that. Obviously, God is in everything, which was an amazing message. But one thing he said is that we need to wholly depend on Jesus to get us there. Now, for me, that was powerful. That was a point where I go, oh, okay, I don't need to actually do anything. I need to be active. I need to choose to follow him, but we need Jesus to make that change. We need him to make that change with us. In Matthew 11, 28 and 30, this is a verse that I'm sure you would have heard, that we've heard a lot in church. And if you have a pen or a highlighter or anything, I want you to follow along because this is a powerful verse, but I think there's a few key points in there that we need to understand more and again and be refreshed by it. So it says, then Jesus said, come to me. Underline that bit or highlight that bit. Come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Underline that bit. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So Jesus says in that, all he's asking for us to do, he's telling us who he is, but all we need to do is come to him. We need to lay it at his feet, and he tells us that he will give us rest. And that might be from anything that we're going through. Jesus will give us rest if we would only go to him. But do we do that, church? Do we go to his feet and give it to him? And if we're not there, how do we get back to this point of complete surrender to him? Or you could even say, how do I enter into a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God? Well, it tells us in Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere and fully trusting him. A sincere heart, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. Do we have sincere hearts? Do we trust him? Do we remember Jesus and what he did for us? Now, if you're new here this morning, if you don't know who Jesus is and what he's done for you, he's taken away our sin. He's changed us from being destined for eternity of a bad place to being in heaven for eternity with him, worshiping him, spending time with him. But he's taken away our sin. He paid for it on the cross. We are new in him. We're made alive in him. And when we live with him in his Holy Spirit, we are changed forever. Amen. So coming back to that place of surrender daily, we're designed to rely on Jesus. We're designed to depend on him. surrendering to Him and relying on Him and the Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. But we've got to be active. Like I mentioned before, we've got to be active in seeking Him more. And before I get into that, I just want to make a side point. Is that we have some amazing people in this church. And I'm so blessed to know many of you. And I know that there's certain people that I can go to for wise counsel. But I just want to speak on behalf of the young adults, or the younger people in this room today. Is that we need more people that are good examples of Christians and what it means to surrender, what it means to come to Him. And that might be daunting. That might be a place where we go, I don't want to share my past hurts or my past pains. But we want to hear that, church. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear how Jesus helped you through. And we want to learn from you. So even though maybe some of the young people might not be that approachable or might not seem like they want to speak to you, please come speak to us. And young person in this room, we've got to be willing to listen and to hear the wisdom from our older congregation members and from the people in this church. And I believe that's happening already, but we need more. We want more. So how do we seek God? How do we rely on the Holy Spirit? And how do we do it sincerely and actively? So there's a few things that we can do. Which one of these things brings you to surrender? There's a lot of stuff as Christians that we know that we can do is we can come into a place of worship. We can pray. We can read the Word, read the Bible. We can spend time together in fellowship and in community. But which one is it for you that brings you to that place? It could be all of them. It could be multiple. But what is it for you that brings you to that place of true surrender, complete surrender? I know for me, it's worship and community. I know that in the safety of our home, in the privacy of our home, when we turn the music up and we have worship songs on, don't we, Isaiah? We have lots of time where we worship Jesus at home.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun and there's so much freedom. And it's just a place that we can completely be ourselves in front of God. And there'll be dancing, there'll be singing and all sorts going on. But it's a beautiful thing. There's also, for me, another time that I get to myself, which is amazing, is when I drive to work. At my office job down near Fremantle as well. Obviously, I work here at the church, my other job as well. And it's obviously a bit of a distance away. It's 30 to 40 minutes. And as I go, a lot of the time I try to put worship music on to put me in the right headspace for the day. And I like to put it on my favorite song, my favorite worship song, whatever that might be. And about three or four songs in, I'm starting to wake up. I'm safe on the road by now. And I'm starting to hear the words and it's just coming into my spirit. And I get to this point where I start to sing along. And then a few more songs in, the same song on repeat, I'm bawling my eyes out. I'm driving along, singing and crying. And you can't even probably understand me if you're in the car next to me. Or in the car with me, sorry. But it's an awesome space that I have with God and that I can truly surrender to Him. Obviously, I love time in community as well, time in fellowship, whether that's here at church or within our connect groups or whatever it might be. That is really time for me that I love being with people in it, and iron sharpens iron. But what is it for you? It could be time here at church. It could be driving to work like me, crying your way there. It could be going for a walk, could be in your connect groups, time with family. Obviously, personal time of prayer and time in the Word is a must, and that might be the thing for you. But about these things, we have to be so, so intentional to make it happen. We have to be active. We need to spend more time in His presence. So think about it. What can you do? What is it that you love doing? What is it that you love spending time doing with God? And it's important what environment we do that in as well, because as we all know, there is many, many distractions in this life. So we want to find a place that we're comfortable doing these things. We're all different and we all function in different ways. So really find that place for you that is going to bring you to that point. Now, we're just about wrapping up here, but before we do, I want to read a psalm. And I want to read not just part of a psalm, but a whole psalm. So if you want to read along, it's Psalm 86 is where we're going to go from. And what I actually want to get you to do, Salome's going to be bringing a song for us once I finish this. But I want to be really engaged in what the words say. So if you join me, if you're able to stand up, because I think when we're... Yeah, everyone can stand up if you wish. Because when we're standing up, we can properly connect. Where if anyone was sleeping, then they're awake now as well. So that's good. But really, I'd encourage you to engage with these words. They're really powerful, and I speak of a man's life that is pouring out his heart to God. So let's get into it. Psalm 86 from the Passion Translation reads, "Lord, bend down to listen to my prayer. I am in deep trouble. I am broken and humbled, and I desperately need your help. Guard my life, for I am your faithful friend and loyal servant for life. I turn to you in faith, my God, my hero. Come and rescue me. Lord God, hear my constant cry for help. Show me your favor and bring me to your fountain of grace. Restore joy to your loving servant once again, for all I am is yours, O God. Lord, you are so, so good to me, so kind in every way and ready to forgive, for your grace fountain keeps overflowing, drenching all your lovers who pray to you. God, won't you pay attention to this urgent cry? Lord, bend down to listen to my prayer. Whenever trouble strikes, I will keep crying out to you, for I know your help is on the way. God, there is no one like you. There's no other gods as famous as you. You outshine all others, and your miracles make it easy to know you. Lord Almighty, you are the one who created all the nations. Look at them. They're all on their way. Yes, the day will come when they will all worship you and put your glory on display. You're the one and only God. What miracles, what wonders. Your greatness belongs to you. Teach me more about you, how you work and how you move, so that I can walk onward in your truth until everything within me brings honor to your name. With all my heart and passion, I will thank you, my God. I will give glory to your name always and forever. You love me so much, and you place your greatness upon me. You rescued me from the deepest place of darkness, and you delivered me from a certain death. God, look at how these arrogant ones have defiled me. Like vicious band of violent men, they have tried to kill me. They won't worry for a moment that they were sinning against you. But Lord, your nurturing love is so tender and gentle. You are slow to get angry, yet so swift to show your faithful love. You are full of abounding grace and truth. Bring me to your grace fountain so that your strength becomes mine. Be my hero and rescue your servant once again. Send me a miraculous sign to show me how much you love me, so that those who hate me will see it and be ashamed. Don't they know that you, Lord, are my comforter, the one who comes to help me?" So I know those words are so powerful, and I hope that they have made a change in your heart this morning. And Salome is going to lead us in a song. So I just encourage you all to spend that time surrendering completely over to God. And you can do that in whichever way that you want to. If you want to come to the front, go ahead. If you want to sit back down, go ahead. If you want to get on your knees, if you want to close your eyes, if you want to walk around, please do so. But find that place right here, right now, where you can give yourself to God, completely surrendering to Him.